This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's Tuesday. It's, you know that it is exactly 6 months to Christmas?
Oh.
And it's also that? 6 months away from the last Christmas.
Yeah, it's exactly right, Leanne. Huh? Well then, well spotted there, eagle eye. Very good.
We're good with counting this morning. We're great with the calendar.
Look at us, how we've started our day. All this useful information. Oh, I said to Sia, I'm really genuinely happy when I see that there isn't a guest coming in on the show.
What, like Stranger Danger?
Yeah, I sometimes look outside and I see someone sitting there and I'm like, oh no, I have to interview that person now.
Who is that?
Yeah, I mean, they're always nice when they get in here, but it's typical of me. Like, I assume it's not going to be fun and then it ends up being great fun.
Yeah.
Like, I was sitting here, when was it, with those two girls who came in to talk about the organ transplant?
Yes.
On Friday.
Mm. I was like, oh no. Look at those two, and I have to talk about this boring organ transplant thing. But when they came in, they were great. They were really interesting. They were funny. We talked and we had a lot of fun. I mean, we didn't take it seriously, did we?
No. But we did learn.
We learned a little bit. I mean, there were going to be people who took it seriously, and that's good. But our attitude was, let's have some fun with this. And that was theirs as well, thank God. Nothing worse than if I want to have fun with something and the person I'm interviewing is like, no, 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 this is very serious.
Mm. Not having it.
It's the worst.
No, but I like when it's just us and we can talk and we can have fun with stuff.
We can fart and be ourselves.
Whatever. Yes,
we can let our guns out.
Everybody loosen your belt and let your gun loose. Yeah.
Feel a little better now. Yeah.
I have lost 3 kilograms in the last 2 weeks.
Ooh, what did you do?
I've stopped letting my gunt control my life. Mm.
And you know, now the colder days are when people pile on the weight.
I know, no. I'm eating properly, eating mostly, you know, wintry food, but a lot of protein, a lot of vegetables, cut out all the stupid carbs. I mean, like I cheat every now and then, but that's normal. In other words, I'm gaining control of my weight, which I'm never out of control. I mean, like, let's be serious. I carry on about how fat I am and how unattractive I am, and I obviously it's how I feel about myself, but that's not the
objective. It's just a mental condition.
Right, well, of course, but I can acknowledge that, so I'm dealing with it.
Yeah.
I look in the mirror, and I'm never happy because I think I should be very, very attractive, and I'm clearly not. That is my mental problem. It's not a physical problem.
But you've never let yourself go and just...
Well, look, I...
Needed us to roll you out of here.
I will never forget a picture I looked at of me at one of my friend's weddings where I was the MC and someone took the official wedding photographer took a picture of me and I looked so fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So fat and unkempt and just... I looked like a greasy doughboy, and I was like,
"You mean like a normal South African guy?"
Well, yeah, but you know the way people would describe you if they didn't like you. That's how I saw myself in that picture, and I thought,
"Got
to fix this." That's when I started going to gym, and that was what, like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, that was a big transformation.
Still, the image you have of yourself, that has to change.
Yeah, I haven't completely got rid of it yet. But I don't know. Look, like, don't we all have problems? We all look in the mirror and think something could be better. Something could be a little, you know, nicer. I hate the fact that, you know, you inevitably get older.
Yeah. The fact that when you look in the mirror, it's like, this is the best I'm ever going to look.
Fuck.
Downhill from here.
Oh, that's depressing.
I don't know.
Oh, that is so depressing. I have this fantasy that I'll one day, like, look at myself and be just thrilled about my physical appearance. I genuinely, deep down inside, believe I should look way better than I do. I think there must be a mistake on the production line. God must have had a
glitch in the system.
He must have had a snooze, and you know, because I'm like, come on, I really should be fucking unbelievably good looking, and I'm not, and it drives me crazy.
But doesn't living in 2019
makes it worse?
Make you hopeful?
No, it makes it worse because you see other beautiful people on Instagram, and you're like, look at me.
But you don't think like
a monster.
I could get better if I wanted to. You know, there's so much that can be done. You can practically buy anything. You
listen
can
to the exuberance of youth.
It might be youthful hope, but I think there's always something that can be done.
Yeah, I think you get to a point where, I don't know, my mom's words ring true, where she said there'll always be someone prettier than you, thinner than you, sexier than you, richer than you, more successful than you.
Google's looking at us now. Oh, no. We're insane. You don't agree with any of this?
Well, I think out of the four of us,
what?
I'm the better looking of the four.
Wow. And you're also the most modest.
Yeah.
Thanks, that says a lot. Thanks. Coming from good me.
Good for you, shithead.
Yeah.
And there it is. I was thinking about this on my way in this morning. How girls especially were taught to...
These are lies! These are lies! This is garbage! This is filth!
Yeah. Girls are taught what?
That was what you said when you looked in the mirror this morning.
It's that we grew up being taught how to always hate the girl who was nicer than you or more successful or prettier or thinner.
Were you taught that? Is it something that you girls had a meeting about and decided that that's what we're going to do?
We didn't need to. It's just we copied the behavior of others.
No. It's jealousy,
it's like,
right?
Oh, bitch. You know?
It's jealousy. Straight up resentment and jealousy.
Dude, I think girls or females, you guys put so much pressure on yourselves. And you compare yourselves with each other so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't care what Shia looks like.
Hmm.
Or Gareth, for that matter.
No, I know. I can tell you don't care, but you will one day.
Say that again?
You'll care one day. You will.
I saw a similar conversation on social media over the weekend about this, and someone was talking about these club girls and why they're all very clicky and why they look down on each other. You know, like the girls who'll say, oh yeah, we're going out, let's go and have fun, but they're really just there to look good, and they don't even dance because Paris thought you break a sweat and that ruins your makeup. But the conversation going on around that was that certain things perpetuate these things as well. It's this whole thing of, you know, girls come in free, or, you know, girls with high heels get free access, you know, so society almost does encourage you to have that feeling towards one another. It's like, oh, well, look at you. You didn't make an effort.
I really wish, like, we could all be... see, I'm a very superficial person when it comes to appearance.
I wouldn't say that.
I am.
Very superficial?
Very superficial. Like, I am way, way nicer to beautiful people than I am to ugly ones or fat ones. Always. I always have been. That's true. You've seen me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite the pageant, then we still have to get the Miss SA contestants, and then that'll put you in a good mood.
Well, that's the point, right? Like, just good-looking people, I'm just always much happier to meet. It happens that way. And I think I should be better-looking, too. But let's leave this alone. I think there's something wrong. Like, someone screwed up. I want to know who's responsible.
Yeah, I will just say in conclusion, I'm very surprised that you guys still think this way in 2019. Have you never considered just going like, I can buy that. I can get this lifted.
What must I do?
Get
Botox?
Dyed. Yeah.
You reckon I should get Botox?
There's so much that you could do.
Yeah, the time can come.
Fuck no. I wouldn't. What if, you see...
You don't have to look like Catwoman once you're done. But, you know, a little...
Have you got any work there going on this year? Have you had anything done yet? I mean, you're too young. But
no, not yet. Yeah.
But you would.
And I'll be honest, I have...
You'll go straight to
I have once asked, and this doctor recommended that I lay off now and then only get it done in a few years, because I'm still coming into myself.
I don't think I would get stuff done. I mean, I've had...
You've got pretty good skin, though. I mean,
I've had, and I don't have a stitch of makeup on right now.
Yeah, but you don't have...
But I've had, like, medical Botox in my jaw.
Oh, yeah?
What's that?
It's for bruxism, because I clench my jaw.
Lock jaw.
And grind my teeth, and it just releases the muscles in the...
She's basically like a
in
wolf.
In the temples and...
She's like a wolf.
So, like, if usually if you went for Botox in your forehead,
yeah,
you would have 5 units. Uh-huh. I have 60 in each bottom Jeez. Jaw and 40 Whoa. In the top jaws.
That's enough to, to take down cattle.
It's extremely expensive, but medical aid does actually pay for it because it's a medical issue.
How long does it last before you have to go and get a new one done?
6 months exactly, like almost to the day.
You feel...
And I haven't been in about 2 years now.
Get your Christmas dose now.
Yeah. It basically poisons your muscles.
How much time do you spend with all of these different health issues? The sleeping Jesus, the locked jaw, the...
Man.
And they're all actually related.
I heard weird. Yesterday you had bronchitis last year. I was surprised to hear that.
She was in hospital, yeah.
I mean,
it was it turned into pneumonia, actually.
I saw a friend of mine's girlfriend on this issue of the way we look and the treatments people will go to. This friend of mine, he's got a new girlfriend, and she filters the hell out of all of her pictures.
And it's so scary. I would never do that. Because
she doesn't even look anything like her pictures. Yeah. When you meet her in person, you're like, people what an average-looking chick. You see her pictures on Instagram, you think...
Bouncer.
Like well, no, you don't. I think she looks a bit plastic, frankly. She looks like a... Like a doll, you know?
Like this Facetune app makes your eyes bigger and your teeth whiter. And it's why do it when people are going to meet you and they're going to be disappointed?
Well, yeah, wouldn't you rather impress
yes.
them? Yes. They must think, I'm going to meet this hideous monster, this monster troll. And then they meet you and they're like, well, you know, she doesn't look so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think people put that much thought into it. It's more about, hey, have a pretty looking photo that I can post up.
I don't know.
That's what matters.
I must be way more superficial than you.
No, you are.
I definitely am.
Just calling it it is.
I don't know where it comes from either. It's just, it's part of me. I've always believed, like, beautiful people have way nicer lives than ugly ones. Because if you're pretty... You get what you want anyway without even trying. You don't have to have a sense of humor, personality. You don't have to be well-mannered or make an effort with people. I mean, it's nice if you are all those things, too, as a bonus. But people will still be nice to you because you're hot.
I was about to say, have you ever seen a good-looking homeless person?
No.
But I actually have.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Where does she live?
He.
So it's a he, okay.
Yeah.
good-looking homeless dude.
Yeah, and he's been hanging around like the parks for years.
Is he a flasher?
No, but he's got like.
Is he one of your exes?
Good facial hair, good hair. He walks around in this big trench coat.
Is he groomed?
he obviously can't be 100% groomed.
So how can you say he's good-looking? What is just a nice face?
Good features, yeah. Oh, okay.
Who would you liken him to? Like
tall,
a celebrity?
Like a George Clooney.
No.
Yeah,
no
but unkempt.
Way.
I promise you.
Like there's this...
I used to sit with friends and he'd walk past and we'd say, can you imagine him having like a grooming session or a makeover?
But like he's
it'd
the kind
amazing.
Of, he's the kind of guy that a makeover business should get hold of.
Absolutely.
And put down in the chair and just sort out, like tidy up.
I watched YouTube videos like that, when they do that in the States.
They grab a homeless person, and then after they've made them look pretty, they throw them back out on the street.
Throw them back on the street. That's exactly what they do.
I think that's so awesome. You see, now why...
Of course you do. You see, at which parks you want to go and check after the
now
show?
Now wait,
right?
Why don't we judge Leanne for something like this, but then you guys judge me for liking a killer?
Because you... Because
it's a killer, you idiot. Oh. What's wrong with you? It's a killer. Like a homeless person.
We can separate the circumstances from the
person. Homeless people aren't necessarily criminals.
Leanne, your guy's on the line. Yes, sir, go ahead.
You sure are funny, man.
Oh.
It doesn't sound like what he would sound like.
Oh. No, that was him. That was definitely him.
Just don't separate. You can just separate the two, actually. The keyed homeless guy. I like it.
I woke up this morning at like 1 a.m. and luckily I went straight back to sleep. But for some reason, I felt like I'd already had a good night's sleep.
Mm.
So everything from 1 o'clock on was a bonus. Do you know how nice that is?
Ooh, yeah.
What time did you get to bed last night?
About 10:15, somewhere around there.
Oh.
Yeah, I read a book. I read the most fascinating book about the interior decoration of the private apartments of Windsor Castle under George the IV.
Yeah, that's the one I'm on as well.
Can you get more specific?
It's so specific. It's
interior decorator.
Yeah. It's about the way that the rooms in the private apartments of Windsor Castle, which there are no pictures of this anywhere, are appointed. What kinds of ceiling decoration they have, what kinds of window dressing they've got. I should speak to Anthony at Taylor Blinds and ask him about this because he'd know. And then, you know, the furniture itself, because there was a company called, I mean, this is such strange bullshit for me to be into, but I was...
Very niche.
I found, like, I love books like that that teach me about some weird thing that nobody else on earth except for maybe five people ever gave a shit about. There was this company called Morell and Seddon, and they made seat furniture in the 1800s, like the early 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, with their job to source and to make all the furniture that is in the private apartments of Windsor Castle.
Well, this is odd because last night I dreamt of Buckingham Palace.
Oh, wow, look at you.
And the reason I did...
Meghan Markle, she's in our heads.
One of my nails chipped, the polish chipped.
Yes.
And I looked at it and it looks to me like a bobby. Like you can see the moustache and the helmet.
I swear this sounds like such a high conversation.
Can you see it?
Yeah, this sounds. We sound like people who are just super fucking
so high blazed. Right now.
Yeah,
it does look a little bit about like a Leanne? Bobby.
Look at the moustache, like, and then the hat that's low over the eyes.
Like one of those bearskin hats.
Okay.
Yeah. So I dreamt about Buckingham Palace because of that.
That's incredible. Your nail fired off a Buckingham Palace dream?
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of creativity to get your engine started, do you?
Wow. No, it's all day. It's all inside.
Play alone as a kid?
I did for 6 years.
So the problem with this book is it's fat and it's a hardcover book and it's heavy and it's full of pictures, obviously.
It's not easy to read lying in bed.
No, so I couldn't find a comfortable position. But man, eventually I was so tired. I got to, I don't know, halfway through the book and I put it down. And I went straight to sleep.
Mm.
And I slept like a bum. It was so good. Woke up at 1. And I thought, what the hell am I doing up? Went straight back to sleep again.
If I had to listen to a podcast or an e-book, like a, what do they call, audiobook of that, it would put me to sleep.
Oh, look, it's not, it wasn't interesting. I'm not going to read this book again, to be honest. This book's going to be put away after this, and it's not going to be read again.
I think that's something my mother would love.
I don't even think she would. I think she'd hate it. It's
Durban.
You spend some time now with your mom. I saw her on your Instagram.
She's not okay. But being in Durban over
like
this
you're
weekend,
so normal. You're so together.
No, I really did miss home, and I thought, oh, screw it, why not? Let me just spend the weekend at home. And now that largely my parents are living alone.
Yeah.
They are recreating this life that they want.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
They're at that stage in their life now where it's now like, actually, we don't have to think practically because we're raising kids.
And they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
They're getting a bit self-indulgent, right?
So I got to my childhood bedroom and I almost didn't recognize it now because my mother has taken it over to
what did she turn it into?
Redecorate it.
Is it a hobby room?
Oh, no, it's still a functioning bedroom, but now it has her taste in it.
Uh-huh.
I had to sleep in silk over the week.
Wow, that's nice.
Like, what is going on? There's just silk bedding everywhere now. All of the bathrooms have these white towels because no messy children will be wiping their snotty fingers everywhere. But I also was, you know, just going through the kitchen and the pantry and everything has now changed. My parents are very health conscious. So now everything is, you know, organic and everything is sugar free and salt free. I'm like, can I just get some MSG?
Where's that childhood food that I grew up on?
You want a packet of knickknacks?
I woke up in the morning.
2 minute noodles.
I woke up in the morning, I was making a sandwich and I just put some peanut butter on some toast and was like the sugar-free, salt-free muck, basically.
Yeah.
But they are living their best lives now.
You know why? Because first of all, they don't have to worry about all you shitheads. And they're pleased you're out of the house. And second of all, they do realize like they're getting older and therefore they want to look after themselves and they want to live longer. So they cut out all the bad stuff.
Mm.
And that's part of the whole, you don't care about what you eat. I've seen you, you will
scoff down anything.
Well, no, you are very particular about what you eat.
And you're vegetarian.
But you're not health conscious about your eating. You're just taste conscious. And and that'll go away eventually. One day you'll wake up and you'll suddenly go, oh, I'm getting fat. And then you'll stop.
But it was actually really nice to see how they're now doing things for themselves.
Yeah. No, it's lovely. I know exactly what you mean. My parents are doing the same thing. They're going on a lot more trips together.
Yeah.
And they do stuff they want to do. Like they redo a room in the house or they... You know, they invite their friends over. I mean, I've pitched up there sometimes, and then there's a dinner party going on.
They're finally having fun.
Yeah, well, I thought, what have we, the children have been holding them back all these years? Clearly we were.
Because it's not what, a quarter-life crisis or a half-life crisis, but they just get to reinvent things.
No, they're loving it. I mean, I think parents, it's like a new lease on life, because you suddenly find you don't have those responsibilities that you used to have. And you're the youngest, so now that you're able to kind of fend for yourself and you're in a different city, they can really do what they want.
They can put silk everywhere.
They can do. Your mother can decorate the place like a cake if she wants to. Mr. Schmangel says, you know what? Listening to Leanne over the past few months, I must say she goes through a lot of shit being sick and stuff. Bronchitis and all that snoring stuff. She is like a little smart car just driving around looking for an accident. I'm surprised she's still alive.
Oh, I am too.
I think it's the alcohol keeping her alive. She has lived, says Mr. Schmang.
Yeah, it's true. And I didn't choose it, and I'm not happy about it. But, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, you can't get cross about these things. You just got to make it work. All right, so we've got lots of news. We've got... We don't have any guests. How exciting is that? We'll talk about O.J. Simpson, who's back.
Yeah.
O.J.'s on Twitter.
A lot of craziness
going on.
Hasn't
he always been?
I did not do it.
Is it a new thing?
Mm-hmm.
The juice.
Shame. I don't know that anyone's in a hurry to follow him, but we are.
I will for entertainment. Same way I followed Meghan Markle's sister for entertainment.
Is she still... You're one of only 6,000 people in the world.
You have to keep up with these things. These bizarre
Meghan Markle's sister.
Yeah.
Shame. What a thing. All right, so Donald Trump is going crazy on Twitter again, but then when isn't he? And we've got some other interesting stories that we'll get to in a short while. All right, let's do the five things. What do you think?
Yes. Yeah, both.
All right. Let's start with, should we start with number five, or should we start with number one, or should we start with number three?
I think three.
Or number four, or number two?
I'm feeling three.
I'm feeling number three. I'm actually going to choose number three. Five corruption-accused Joburg Metro Police Department officers have been let out on bail. Listen to this. Five Joburg Metro Police Department officers appeared at the Germiston Magistrates Court on Monday on charges of corruption and defeating the ends of justice. The Hawks say the five officers were arrested in a sting operation in Joburg. It's alleged that in March this year, they were patrolling in the Cleveland area when they stopped a vehicle with one occupant. Upon searching him, they seized an unlicensed firearm and demanded the amount of 15,000 rand and then freed him. Warrants of arrest against the five suspects were issued and subsequently arrested. The case has been postponed to October 2019. I like stories like this because we have to have our cops, we have to keep them honest.
Yeah, and corrupt.
No, we have to try and keep them honest. These guys, you know, solicited a bribe of 15,000 rand and they took away a firearm. Now, the fact that it was unlicensed, there's a question over whether or not you can take away someone's firearm. If it is licensed, then obviously you can't. But if it's unlicensed, probably a good idea for them to take it away. But the 15 grand, not good. Not good for the cops to try and take bribes. I heard a horrible story the other day about a guy who, he was driving drunk, which means he was already in trouble and probably deserves what happened, but it's still a horrible story. So he's driving drunk, and he gets stopped by the Metro Police, and they say to him, all right, well, you have to give us 1,000 rand. He said, well, I don't have 1,000 rand. So they said, fine, we're going to keep your phone and we're going to keep your wallet, and you can take your card, and you can go to the ATM down the road. You can draw 1,000 rand, and you can bring it back.
Uh-huh.
And then when he got back, they'd gone.
Oh.
With his phone and his wallet.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're drunk, you know, bad things are going to happen to you, especially if you are trying to drive drunk, which this guy was, and he was well over the limit. They tested him.
Oi.
But still, you know, there's a way to deal with people, and you don't want people being afraid even if they've done nothing wrong. You want people to know that there are consequences if they've done something wrong,
mm-hmm.
but not afraid just because they're an innocent civilian and the police are murderous thieves who are going to try and drag money out of everybody. All right, in other news, this is unreal. This whole situation in Durban is just so unreal. The Itekwini mayor, Zandile Gumede, has got a whole bunch of supporters who are at the ANC's provincial office fighting for her to be reinstated as the mayor. Now remember, she is charged with corruption. She's been suspended for 30 days. She had to go and plead the other day.
Mm.
She pled guilty. Organizer of the march, Mzomutle Dube, says that the decision to suspend her sets a bad precedent. What we're trying to quell... Okay, now, listen, I don't know if English is necessarily this guy's best language, mm-hmm. but it's one of them. What we are trying to quell of here is the precedence, because any decision taken by any legal structure creates a precedence. Mm. This is such bad language, I don't understand what he's trying to say, but let's power through, shall we? So when we sit back and say nothing, it will mean that every decision that has been taken is correct. So to actually deal with the narrative, we have to come out in numbers and say the decision must be reviewed. This person lives in the fantasy world where he thinks that his dreams and imagination is going to result in a different thing to what reality has thrown at him. First of all, the word is precedent, not precedence.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a precedent, and that's like president, but with a C and an E rather than a president, right? And then this narrative, this idea of a narrative... It's not a narrative. She has been accused of corruption. She's charged with corruption. She's been suspended for 30 days because of corruption. There's no narrative at work here, dude. Here, listen to him in his own words.
Mandla, it's becoming a bit like Groundhog Day now. Every week we're speaking to, and there are supporters of the mayor wanting to make their voices heard outside those ANC offices. They don't seem to be wanting to give up on this quest.
Absolutely,
they will not give up anytime soon, because this is part of their political strategy. Remember, this is their fight back. They are fighting for Zandile Gumede to be reinstated as the mayor of Etegwini. She is not suspended, she has not resigned, but the ANC PEC placed her on a 30-day leave of absence while dealing with her matter. She is facing fraud and corruption charges out on 50,000 rand bail. Her supporters have promised that they will keep on coming here up until she's back at work, and they are also dismissing the newly composed regional task team of the ANC in Etekwini region, the biggest region of the ANC.
Does it sound to you like it sounds to me like this reporter really is just sick of this story?
Yeah,
he's just tired of it, right?
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out who these supporters are.
Okay, well,
must be some people who are benefiting from...
Well, let's speak to one. Here, listen, here's ENCA busy talking to one.
Mzomuhle Dube, who is leading and speaking on behalf of these protesters here. Why has your meeting not started?
I generally don't have a specific answer to that. However,
I generally don't have a specific answer to that. In other words, I don't know.
Yeah.
People talk such crap. Like, don't just say, I don't know, huh?
Not to that. However, we have received the communication from the top five leadership through Ubeke Ntuli, the PEC member, where he asked for some time for them to deliberate further on their issues. I'm not sure whether these are the same issues that we are about to discuss.
You marched last week.
All right. I'm not going to get into this because you can just tell it's a rabbit hole. And you know what the truth is? These people are probably supporting her because they're the ones who benefited from her corruption.
Yeah, that's my only
conclusion. There's no other reason.
Conclusion.
Like those people who supported Claudia Motsoeneng at the SABC. They were obviously people who'd received preferential treatment under him. And now that he's gone, they lose their jobs. That's what's happening here. I mean, guaranteed, if you look up this dude, you'll find out that he was probably employed by her.
I highly doubt he's so passionate about the city and its leadership.
And he's not employed. I mean, like, this guy doesn't have anything to do. If he's standing outside,
take time out of his day.
Sure, and all those women who are chanting in the background, they don't have anything else to do. That's why they're there. They don't have jobs. All right, so that's the Gumede. Who knows what else is happening there? Anybody has any clue, you can share it with us, please. But apparently residents of Soweto owe Eskom 18 billion rand. 18 billion rand.
And that's just one city or town.
How does this work? Because if I don't pay my electricity bill at the end of the month, guess what?
It gets cut off.
Right. Someone comes and they switch it off, and I don't know how to switch it back on. The only way I can get it back on is if I pay. So how does this work for Soweto that 18 billion rand is racked up and people continue to have power?
Hmm.
How? How is that right?
Yeah.
Why am I paying and they're not? I thought we lived in a free country where everyone is equal. Now, why am I not equal to the people of Soweto, and how come they're getting free electricity and I'm not? And why should I fucking put up with that?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, it feels very unfair.
It's quite striking to hear that number.
18 billion rand? And we wonder why Eskom's in trouble? Because we keep blaming Eskom, which is obviously part of the problem, right? Eskom's management have managed this thing into the ground. And clearly they have bad debt collecting as well, because they can't collect this 18 billion from Soweto. But part of the problem is, if you get something from Eskom, you've got to pay them for it. What am I missing here? Someone please help me to figure this out. Like, how is it that 18 billion rand? I mean, that's enough power for the whole country for like a year or two.
Yikes.
This
sure.
is why it should all be prepaid.
This is insane. Illegal connections, meter audits, repairing faulty or tampered meters, limiting ghost vending of prepaid electricity, installing smart meters. This is what they're going to do to try and sort the problem out.
Yeah.
Converting customers from postpaid to prepaid and stepping up disconnection of customers who are not honoring their current accounts.
And I have prepaid, and I must say you change your mindset completely once you do.
Yeah. Because you're aware of it.
You're aware of it, yeah. Mm. You do turn off that extra light when you don't need it.
Look, the people of Soweto have got to pay their fair share. Otherwise, you can't get electricity. Sorry. You don't get everything for free, and then the rest of the country has to pay for you. And then there was a lift. This is everyone's worst nightmare.
Oh, my word, yes. Okay.
The worst nightmare. There was a lift. Did you hear about this story?
Yes.
A female tenant was killed on Sunday when a lift that was serviced in February went plunging down a 26-story building.
No, it went plunging up, I believe. Does it say down?
The six lifts in the high-rise complex on 120 N Street underwent a 24-month inspection by an independent specialist lift consultant. The last safety inspection was undertaken in February. On Sunday morning, a female tenant who was not named and two men were inside the lift when the elevator cable allegedly snapped and shot the lift up. Sorry.
Up
to the 26th floor.
I don't know why, but it feels worse. Because you think, at least when you're going down, you know there's a ground and a foundation.
Oh, my
God. When you're going up, the sky's the limit.
You could just shoot right into the stratosphere.
Exactly.
But going down, you know it's... No. It's
also, there's
like
a chance that you
crushed.
It's a fallacy, but you hold on to the hope that you'll be able to jump before it hits the bottom. But going up, I don't know, it's actually really creepy.
Do you guys think she knew that shit was going down? Because, I mean, if the lift is going down, you know you're going to die. But if it's going up, you don't really suspect that something's, going wrong.
But it must have been going at a hell of a speed to have killed her.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, News 24 reported
so
the three people in the lift were then trapped inside. The men managed to escape with one crawling through a gap between the top of the interior door and the bottom of the lift door. Why didn't they help this woman?
Well, I think maybe the lift might have been like crushed or
smashed.
Damaged.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
ER24 paramedics arrived to stabilize the badly injured woman. However, access was limited because the lift was unstable. Molasse said a male survivor was seen by doctors and was recovering at home.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah, a lot of explaining needs to be done with that.
I often got stuck in the SABC lifts. The one time in particular, it was a weekend. I was working in the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
And you had no cell phone reception in the lift.
Oh, no.
And I pressed the button for security and no one was there. And after an hour, I was still trying. Finally, somebody answered. And when the lift technician came, he forced open the doors and it was stuck between two floors. So basically, if I had to sit on the floor of the lift,
yeah.
But my feet were dangling into the shaft.
Oh, Jesus.
And he said, jump to me.
Excuse me? You couldn't have...
You can't propel yourself off because you're not against a wall. So you've just got to basically fall forward.
Oh my word. Goodness.
I mean, how many floors?
It was in the SABC TV building, which was only about six floors, and I think...
Only six floors.
I might have been on, like, the second or third floor. But still, I mean, that'll still kill you.
Imagine if you've fallen into the shaft, plus you don't know what's at the bottom of that thing.
And then the lift comes down again.
Squashes you.
I do not know how long you were calm.
How long were you in there for?
I wasn't calm. I'd say it was over an hour, hour and a half.
I hate that.
It's like where's Leanne? She hasn't pitched up to read the news.
No. Meanwhile, you're furiously pressing the security button.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So it's still quite hard for me.
Listen to this. These fucking Guptas.
Will we ever hear the end of them?
22 tons of garbage. That is the aftermath of two Gupta family weddings in an ecologically sensitive area in the Indian province of Uttarakhand. The wedding of AJ Gupta's son, Suryakant. Yeah, he's a cunt.
Wait, is that his real name?
Yeah, Suryakant.
No!
Was celebrated from June 18 to 20 in Atul Gupta's son, Shashank's wedding from June 20th to 22nd in a ski resort in the Himalayas. In true Gupta style, local politicians and celebrities attended the lavish celebrations, including Uttarakhand's Chief Minister Trivendra Singh Rawat. The Chief Minister is equivalent to what in South Africa would be a Premier. According to a report by India Today, Rawat blessed the newlyweds and thanked the Guptas for choosing Auli as the venue for their son's weddings. This whole family should just be like, they should be completely ostracized from society. Several Indian news sources reported local authorities had to deal with cleaning up the waste and garbage left in their wake. 22 tons of waste had to be collected from the wedding site between Sunday and Monday. The municipality had to bring in 7 to 8 trucks for the purpose. It's just... Yeah, these people are just basically putting up their middle finger to the rest of humanity. They do not give a shit. They're horrible, horrible people. And as far as these children of Atul and AJ Gupta, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
These lavish events.
We don't have shame.
Be ashamed of yourselves, you disgusting, disgusting human beings.
And how, like, they grew up in all of this. Yeah, it's like, of course.
Clearly, they don't care.
It's the world is yours.
It's daddy's money.
Do you want to take over a country? Sure. Yeah.
Let's go and ruin the Himalayas. After we've ruined South Africa, we've basically taken, I don't know, a fifth of the GDP out of South Africa and put it in our own pockets, and now we're here to rape India as well.
In a day's work.
They like that, like the dark elves in the Marvel comics. They come into a world and they just plunge it into misery. These Guptas. They're the dark elves of Marvel. I'm telling you. They live among us. Guillermo says, oh my word, I'm so glad that you're okay, Leanne. What a horrible story. The lift story. Clearly making Guillermo very uncomfortable.
Yeah, not great.
No, I would hate that. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the five things you need to know today. Bitcoin is, $11,123.
Even that surprised you.
Ooh. Ooh, I'm going to get on my Luna account quickly and have a look. That's great. Let me see what I've got here. because I haven't touched this. So I haven't used my Luna app for months.
So does just it mean, letting it be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it mean that you can sell them and make money off of them?
Well, not yet, but I'm.
Let's go to Bora Bora.
Listen, it's back where it should be for me, because this is roughly where I bought.
Yeah.
So thank God. Anything that goes up from here is... We'll all have drinks on me.
Bonus.
Woo-hoo.
Let's see how it goes. I'm not going to get too excited. Okay, we got no sport because Ben isn't in on Tuesdays anymore. By the way, he was in very good spirits yesterday.
He was.
Yeah.
He'd even combed his hair nicely.
And you mean he didn't look like the homeless guy in the park?
Yes.
No, well, that homeless guy looks
not
cute.
All right, it's time for Said by Sia. We'll pretend you didn't say that so that Ben doesn't have a reason to hate you when he comes in.
I love you, Ben. I've spoken about this gamer before. He goes by the name of Dr. Lupo, but he's at it again and clearly just casually saving the world through gaming. He's an online gamer. His real name is Ben Lupo, and he just raised nearly $1 million for the same Jude's Children's Research Hospital again in a marathon 4.5-hour gaming spread over the weekend.
So he could have taken that money for himself.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's a cool $1 million that could go into your own pocket. Nice. But he always does these long stretch gaming sessions in order to encourage people to donate so that he keeps on going and keeps on playing.
Is it only a straight gaming session?
Only for straights.
Only for the straights, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just reporting on this. I was unable to participate. Yes.
Sure. I got you.
So Dr. Lupo has raised millions of dollars for the charity in the past, but Sunday's feat was a new record for the popular gamer. And so he tweeted saying, thank you so much to every single person that's donated, to every single person that supports St. Jude, to every single person that's going to be at GuardianCon, and this is a gaming convention. And he says, to every single person that freaking loves gaming, and most importantly, from top to bottom, St. Jude. So the stream was part of a collaboration between Dr. Lupo and this GuardianCon, which is an annual 2-day event for gamers. And GuardianCon's 2009 convention overall raised $3.7 million, and it's all as well going to be donated to the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. So clearly this is a thing. People love seeing other people play games to the point where they'll go, okay, as long as you keep on going, we'll carry on throwing money at you.
Yeah.
And well,
it's like watching a movie, I suppose.
Sure.
And then the prop could go on forever.
But I've seen some popular gamers and videos of people who've fallen asleep during these live streams and the camera's still on their faces. But it's a thing, and I guess in this case it's a good thing because Dr. Lupo was able to raise so much money for charity. So that's very awesome. Nearly $1 million from online gaming. That's cool.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, and that's just it by Sia.
And it has a good news element. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, 13 minutes to 7, cliffcentral.com. I read the most incredible story. I don't know if this is one of those like headlines that's meant to grab your attention, has no content, but we'll go for it anyway, right? It's exhausting, is a quote. I'm bored of being married to Mr. Perfect. I wish he'd cheat so I could feel better about myself.
What?
Most single women are searching for Mr. Perfect, right? But maybe a little imperfection is better. Writer Claire O'Reilly, 40, from Plymouth, married John, 46, 13 years ago, and has not put a foot wrong since. Today, in a startlingly honest piece, Claire reveals why she is frustrated with being married to Mr. Perfect. I should have got an inkling of my husband's perfect moral fiber when we were dating, all the way back in 2002. I called in sick to work, planning to surprise him as he worked from home. However, when I turned up with thoughts of a long, lazy, romantic lunch, he refused to ditch his responsibilities, even though we were supposed to be in the first throes of love. I married Mr. Perfect anyway, but his ridiculous moral compass has come to be a bone of contention. Simply put, I'm bored of being married to a paragon of virtue. He is so unlike me. It's disarming, but it turns out I'm not alone. New research from the University of Amsterdam has found, while it is beneficial in Mother Nature for a species to be similar, it is not straightforward when it comes to humans. The study looked at personality traits of 4,000 couples and found agreeableness, which is a trait associated with trust and empathy in both partners, mm-hmm. is vital for a relationship to succeed. Mm. That sounds sensible. But research has also found when one partner is conscientious, the coupling can actually work out better if the other is less so. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Which may go some way to explaining why John and I have lasted so long. After a small prang in the car a few years ago, our insurance company informed us that we were entitled to sue the other driver for injuries amounting to £6,000. As neither of us was injured, John refused to take on the elderly driver, despite the figures at play, because it would be dishonest. So, obviously, this girl's like, she just wants to get the hell away from this guy because he's so perfect.
She wants to be married to the bad guy. The bad boy.
The bad boy.
On a very, like, surface level reasoning, I hear what she's saying. Now, sometimes it's nice to just have drama.
I think that
to
the
preoccupy
is,
you.
The problem with him is his consistency.
Consistently good and perfect.
Yeah.
There's no Friday
night. There's no variation.
Night,
there's no surprise.
Sitting at home going, where are you? No, you want to call and find out.
Whoa. Why have you got a problem with him? She's complaining about how he's honest. Mm. He's good. He's consistent.
Because I can see her point.
Yes, me too.
She's the problem. She should not have got married to this perfect guy.
See, I wouldn't even label it as a problem. It's just...
She doesn't want him to be perfect. So what does she want? She wants him to break the rules, be dishonest, cheat on her.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that she's... That part, the cheating, I don't understand. But I can see how it could be annoying to live with someone who's consistently perfect.
It's annoying, but then... Would you prefer the alternative? The alternative is a slob who isn't conscientious, who lies, who probably cheats, doesn't respect you. Just if you have to choose, which one are you going to go with?
Well, can we...
I've had both.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you have, I'm pretty sure you have. And which one do you prefer?
The boring.
But why does it have to be on the either ends of both spectrum?
Why don't you call him the conscientious one instead of the boring one? Like, this is what you hear from women all the time. I wish he was just more consistent.
No, you know what?
I wish he was just more honest.
It's unfair of me to use these two examples because they were extremes.
Okay.
You see? But go on.
And if they weren't that extreme, then I probably would have gone with the inconsistent guy. Because it was a lot more exciting and...
Well, how did it end with him?
Very badly.
Yeah. But did he cheat on you?
Oh, worse.
See, in my mind, I've already envisioned this guy to be the type of guy when you are at the grocery store and you realize, actually, I'm not going to take this can of whatever. He's the person to go back to the shelf
where he found it
and put it back there. He won't just like drop it on the side there.
Now, wouldn't you trust your life with a person like that?
Absolutely.
Rather than
trust your life with a
shithead who's going to cheat on you.
You know, maybe the answer then is to choose the perfect guy or the consistent guy to marry.
And try to break him down.
No, find your waves of excitement from other sources.
In other words, you cheat.
Well, there's that.
Why does it have to be on either
spectrum? I was thinking skydiving, but...
I have such a problem with this because I'm so sick of hearing people complain about their relationships and how everything isn't right and this person isn't 100% honest. And then when... This is really a first world problem. Mm. Then this woman's complaining that she's been married to this guy for 20-something years and he's just too perfect. Most women dream of that. All they talk about is, I wish he'd pick up his clothes. I wish he would do what he says he would do. I wish he wasn't lying to me. I wish he wouldn't promise and then not deliver. This guy clearly does all of that stuff, and now it's a problem.
But you know there are people who get a thrill out of drama like that.
I'm looking at this from the guy's point of view, because I've heard women complain about this stuff all my life, that they... Like, you know, if only you were this, if only you were that, if only you did this. Here, clearly, this guy is doing all those if onlys, and now it's irritating her. We cannot win.
Oh, yeah. No, the woman's mind is a different
It's a whole different universe. And don't pretend you women have got it all figured out either.
No, definitely not.
I like a little drama.
You obviously like a little drama.
I want to, you know, just be...
You want to be with Henry van Breda.
Up late at night. Huh? Going, yeah. What's going on? Where are you? I need to call you. Then I need to call my friend and complain. Meanwhile, I secretly like it. You see it?
You like a bit of that, huh?
Yeah, you need a... You need to spice things up a little. And then maybe you get into a fight and I happen to throw a glass your way. You know, oh. Just...
I think you're living in a...
Eventful.
Soap opera.
Yeah, I think you think you're in a TV show.
Yeah.
Except there's no audience. No, you're not joking.
It's all fun and games up until you get stabbed at home. Then it's freaking serious.
All right. This is CliffCentral.com.